Jim Taylor back on WMJ and WMJ.com, visiting with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson. A lot of information disseminated from the April IHSA board meeting, some of that involving the wearing of masks, or actually we should say not wearing masks now, with low-risk outdoor sports and activities such as baseball, softball, track, and field. Again, those activities, competitors no longer required to wear masks when they compete. So what about that, Craig Anderson?
The timing was rather unique that on the day that we were meeting, we had the Illinois Department of Public Health reach out to us and confirm they were modifying, you know, their guidance related to masks and being outdoors with those low-risk sports. So, you know, we've been in conversation with them for quite some time about hoping that we could get to this spot. And so for the, you know, for sure the safety and injury risk that I believe the mask pose for students trying to engage in those activities while masked, I'm really thankful that, you know, they got together and offered that up for us to allow our students to engage in activities without having to mask. So, yeah, some really good news on that front.
Yeah. Now, in terms of, you know, spectator or spectator limitations, is that kind of a moving target as we go along here in the spring?
Yeah, it is. You know, we're really at that 25% limit now. And obviously being outdoors, you know, the guidance that they offer is that, you know, that's related to seating. And then if all you have is green space, then there's, you know, a number per 1,000 a square feet. And so each location is going to have to probably develop what that number looks like for their school and their location, and then just set those parameters locally and work within those limits.
I know with the lengthening of the basically the IHSA calendar or modified schedule this year, basically the season comes to an end June the 19th. So you looked at modifying maybe contact days in the summer for only 2021. So it's only a one-time deal. So you go from 25 normal contact days to 20. Now, I did have a coach ask me earlier this week when they saw the information disseminated from the IHSA board minutes, do the contact days officially go into place after June 19th?
No, actually, there's the only, and you mentioned that the only thing that the board took action on to modify existing bylaw language was the number of days that coaches and athletes can have per sport, which went from 25 to 20. So the start dates that are in the language of our rules are maintained. So the first day after the last day of school, or this year, in our standardized calendar, it's Monday of week 49, which is June 4th. Whichever of those dates comes first, that's when schools can begin their summer contact days. So they really didn't want to, you know, intrude on much of the bylaw language, though recommendation from our Sports Medicine Advisory Committee led the board to believe, with the extension of many students playing later into the spring, that warranted some modification of that number from 25 to 20. But the timeline of when schools are going to be permitted to use those contact days will be the same as in the past. But, you know, schools will have to obviously negotiate that a little bit, because they are going to have students competing probably a little bit later than they typically would in either baseball, softball, track and field, or other spring sports that we are offering this spring. So, and that was really the board's discussion was, you know, let's really let our schools determine what makes the most sense for them and not try to overcomplicate things by modifying the summer contact bylaw significantly.
And again, to reiterate, this contact day situation going from 25 to 20 is only for the summer of 2021, right?
That is correct. Yeah, it's only because we're extending significantly the summer season into the summer.
All right. You know, the other big issue coming out of the board meeting in April, you know, we've been talking about the impact financially for the IHSA with, you know, basically no state tournament series for football or basketball or some of the sports that generate revenue. So you have put into place over the next three school years a graduated fee structure. And I know it's based on the school's enrollment. You call it the IHSA recovery plan. So can you, you know, I guess provide a little substance on that?
Sure. So the board charged our staff with organizing a group of school administrators from across the state. We called it a financial ad hoc committee to just do a deep dive into the circumstances that we're in. You referenced a number of them, the loss of revenue from some significant state tournament series for over a year now, and the impact that that has had on us as an association. And so we met three different times this spring, and you know, this group of administrators came together with the idea, you know, moving away from a per activity fee. They preferred to just set a one-time membership assessment at the beginning of the school year that schools would pay to the association permitted within bylaws. While it's been over 20 years since we've had something like this, we feel very fortunate to that have been the case. As you mentioned, they wanted to do some planning, and so that's why there's a three-year model in place. The first year, the board did approve the amounts that our schools will have to pay as a membership assessment. The next 2 years are just simply for our school's planning purposes, and the board will evaluate annually if those future assessments are necessary. Obviously, we have a lot of hope that in the fall we return, and when we get to our football championships and volleyball and, you know, sports where we generate some revenue for the association, we'll be able to have fans. And as a result, you know, in a positive financial year, those future assessments may not be necessary, but the board will evaluate that. But the committee felt good about establishing a plan for schools to prepare their budgets if it became necessary, but it would be an annual decision of whether future assessments would be necessary. Obviously, you know, things, we don't know how things are going to happen next fall or how things will progress, but hopefully if they do progress positively, then we could maybe move away from the assessment, much like we've been for the last 20 years. But that's where how that developed and where our board made the final decision on Monday.
Yeah, so a plan in place. And in, you know, you speak to next school year because that's the big issue. And I know we've asked you this before, but you're still expecting, you know, the normal schedule, the normal IHSA schedule to return.
We are. Yeah. That's our plan, is to when we hit that August time, August 9th, I believe it is, would be our first fall practice day, that we'll be on time with all of our fall sports. And, you know, proceeding from that, we would have regular seasons played as we hope they will, and football playoffs and all of our state series conducted on time. That's really our plan. And at this point, don't see any significant roadblocks from that being able to happen. Sure, you know, we may still have some gathering of spectator limits. Don't know what that looks like, but it feels like we should be able to move forward and have tournaments like we've had and our traditional sports in the seasons that we typically have and have planned for within our bylaws.
Yeah, and then I know you were able to piece together, you know, state final sites for example, baseball, softball, and track. And I know with the dates being maneuvered to later in the calendar, that forced some adjustment. So, for example, 1A and 2A state baseball are going to be played at Illinois State University, the finals are, and then 3A going to be at the home of the Schaumburg Boomers, 4A at the home of the Joliet Slammers. Now, for softball, you were able to stay at the Louisville Slugger Complex in Peoria. That was the site, regularly scheduled site for the state tournament to move to this school year. And that's going to be June 16th and the 17th. And then I know track and field, with a large number of student athletes that you bring into Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. I knew that was probably going to be a significant issue with mitigation in guidance and protocol to try and make that work out. So it looks like you have to track. It's going to be a little bit different because you're going to have to spread that out over 6 days. And basically it's only the finals is what it's going to be for those each classes on the boys and girls side. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, you laid that out pretty accurately with all of those spring sports. And it was just a matter of trying to find what's going to work best, recognizing that, you know, schools weren't going to want, or they were going to want to minimize the number of overnight stays. And so that really leads to the schedule we put together. You know, in track and field, we wanted, it's so popular with our students to be able to run at Charleston and, you know, culminate their track seasons there on the Blue Oval. So they were the first ones we contacted once the board said, hey, you know, let's go forward with our state championships, culminate with championships. And frankly, they were really open to the conversation. So we had, you know, multiple conversations and it looks like at this point they're agreeable to having us. As you mentioned, it's going to feel and look a little bit different. As I mentioned, trying to minimize overnights, we're going to just do single classes per day and get students in, run everything on finals, and, you know, finish up a class in a given day. Those schools will be able to leave, and we'll have another class in the following day and so on. So, things are going to look and feel a little different. Fortunately, we're going to be able to recognize students and crown championships. And in this year, that's really, you know, that feels good to be able to say that and to hopefully have that play out like we plan. But it is going to feel a little bit different than it has in the past. But the student recognition and their opportunities to culminate, their experiences in spring sports with championships is going to be a real positive.
Yeah, so all six of those dates, the three for the 1A through 3A girls and the three for the 1A through 3A boys, those all will be at Eastern Illinois University?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. That's the plan right now. Yeah, we've gotten confirmation from the folks at Eastern that are agreeable to that.
All right, and then just as we wind down here with Craig Anderson, I told people that it was weird when I went to the week one football game in late March to broadcast, but then, you know, it's strange as we've gone along here, it's weird because it feels normal, you know. So it's strange going in, but then when I've done Friday night games, I'm like, it is Friday night. It's just in March and April instead of, you know, September and October. Has it felt normal to you, at least when you've been out at some of these things?
It's felt really different. Much like you, Jim, you know, I went that first night and sat in the stands, and I'm, you know, thinking about the time frame that I'm there and the sport that I'm watching, and it really has felt strange. Now, as you mentioned, you know, now a few weeks into it, it's getting a little more comfortable. But, you know, the weather's getting a little bit warmer, and, you know, you're feeling like, you know, I should start to hear a crack of a bat, that starter's pistol going off. And we're going to hear that very soon. And then, you know, those things are getting started this week. But the whistles are still blowing, you know, with boys soccer and football going on the field. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a test of, you know, where am I? You know, am I in the twilight zone of things happening at that time that we wouldn't ordinarily anticipate them happening? But it's just been refreshing to see, you know, the emotion, the kids, the support of having some fans there and the excitement that it's all created. And that's really what it's about for our students.
Yeah, I know, you know, one final thing here. The pandemic still isn't over yet, so we know that. I mean, the vaccine continues to roll out. More and more people are getting vaccinated. But you know, whether it's IHSA, whether it's Division I college sports, Division II, or whether it's professional sports, you know, people are still being impacted by COVID. So, you know, it's not going to be a perfect situation. There's going to be some hiccups. But, you know, when you look back to late January and when the announcement comes out that, you know, the IDPH and the state say, well, you can play these high-risk sports, and then boom, we got to put this plan together. And in late January, we're going to get all these remaining sports in for the remainder of the school year over the next basically 5 months. You know, when you look back now, do you feel pretty good about what's been put together, considering, you know, what you were up against with a calendar and all that, and now, you know, as we wind down here, as we look toward the end of the school year, the organization, the association, and the schools have been able to do this. So I guess, can you just react to that? You have to feel pretty good about that, all things considered.
Yeah, honestly, Jim, I owe so much to the school personnel out there, to our students, our coaches, and our athletic directors. As you know, we put such a short window of asking them to organize these opportunities for kids, and to our over 800 member schools, they just met the challenge. I mean, yeah, they had some questions along the way, and that was to be expected, but you know, to think what we have been able to accomplish since that January timeframe is kind of mind-boggling at times. I'm so impressed with the great work of our school folks in some incredibly challenging times. You said it, that, you know, we're not out of COVID, and you know, the setbacks here and there that have occurred have created some frustrations, but you know, they kept focus, and kids and students and teams have been quarantined, and they're returning and they're playing. And I just can't say enough about what our schools have done with all of this. We as a staff laid out the plan, and then the execution was so critical and put on the shoulders of so many school administrators. And kudos to all of them for creating these opportunities for students.
All right. Great input from Craig Anderson, IHSA Executive Director, joining us on WRMJ.